For coming, and we'll just read a couple verses from Revelation 1. They're having some problems with getting the lecture from Greg Salazar on Puritans on the Sabbath going. If they don't get it going, I will just lecture on the subject to you. I actually have Greg's notes, so I'll lecture from Greg's notes, and hopefully my lecture will be almost as good as his. Revelation 1, verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, to Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bow before Thee in these moments, and we thank Thee so much for the opportunity to speak about a very practical subject, the Puritan view of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. And we pray that we may learn from them and follow them insofar as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us now and give by thy Spirit in us, a very deep conviction about the Lord's Day and its beauty, its sacredness, its joy, that we may count it a great privilege to have a whole day set apart every week as a foretaste of heaven to worship thee, not only in this sanctuary twice, but also in our families and in our own personal lives. So be near to us and bless us. May we learn a great deal in the next 25 minutes or so. And may thy benediction rest upon this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Puritans are well known for the Sabbath, for strict views on the Sabbath. But for them, those were joyous views. Strictness did not mean moroseness. Strictness did not mean legalism. Strictness did not mean we're sad today. Just the opposite. They called the Sabbath the market day of the soul, because as a woman would go to market one day a week to get food for the family, so the Puritans would say, we go one day a week to the house of God and we get spiritual food for the whole week. And we, the father, for example, would come home and use that, those messages of the pastor on the Lord's Day and interweave them through his family worships all week long. So when you think of the Puritan view of the Sabbath, many people in America today think of something negative. And I want to present it to you as something extremely positive. This is a beautiful thing that we get to have the opportunity to have one day a week when we don't have to prosecute any earthly business, but may, as one Puritan said, we have heavenly transactions to do and heavenly business on the Lord's day. Now today, America, of course, has moved very, very rapidly away from Sabbath keeping, or I might call it the sanctity of the Lord's day. When I was a boy, my mother would refuse to go into a store that was open on the Lord's Day. That was just no-no Finally, a grocery store opened where she got some groceries. Well, never would go in that again. That type of thing. Today, we are so far away from that that if I go to a conference somewhere, I actually have to tell people ahead of time now that I don't prefer to go to a restaurant on the Lord's Day, and I'm not going to fly home on the Lord's Day. You know, they might say, well, you could preach, you can stay over the weekend after the conference, you can stay on Sunday morning, and you can fly home in the afternoon. These are conservative, reformed people. And we're prone to judge them from our conservative views, but we need to understand also how they got to those views and how we got to our views. But this is an area where there's a lot of difference among Reformed people today. Some who see the Sabbath as intermixed in Exodus 20 with ceremonial laws, and then therefore the transfer over to the Lord's Day in the New Testament, they would argue that the only thing you really need to do on Sunday is go to church, and the rest of the day is yours. Because that was the ceremonial part of the fourth commandment that got dropped. What the Puritans are saying is the whole Sabbath got transferred from Saturday to Sunday with the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. And as John then calls it in Revelation 1, the Lord's Day. And see, we are Puritans in that we follow that concept. And so we don't go to restaurants on Sunday. We don't go golfing on Sunday afternoon between the two services because we see the whole Lord's Day as being set aside, and we want to jealously guard that time as precious time, a precious day in which we get to, not we have to, we get to worship the Lord the whole day. So that's my introduction. Now, let's look at three things. First of all, I want to give you, and I'm leaning on Greg Salazar here, I want to give you the Puritan's view of how the Lord's Day functioned. Second, we'll look at a few implications of their theology of the Lord's Day for their practice. And then we want to look at some concluding applications for us today. So first, what really is the Puritan view? What are their theological convictions that underpin the theology, the Puritan theology of the Lord's Day? I'll give you five quickly. Number one, Puritans believed that obedience to observe the Lord's Day was rooted in the creation ordinance. The creation ordinance of Genesis 2, 1 and 2. For example, John Owen, in his book, The Sacred Day of Rest, argued that God had sanctified the Lord's Day as a part of the creation ordinance. He said that it was sanctified not that in God, because God kept it holy himself, which he said would make no sense in the divine nature because God is not capable of keeping one day in a special way because he is perfectly holy himself. And God could not sanctify anything in himself because he is perfectly sanctified already, Owen said. So God set it apart to sacred use for man. The Sabbath was made for man, Jesus said. And God did that authoritatively, requiring us to sanctify it in its use in obedience to him. So this is not, the Puritan said, a ceremonial law that certain parts of it don't apply to our age because it's not just in Exodus 20 or in the ceremonial section of the scriptures, but it's back in the creation ordinance. It's a pre-fall ordinance. This is how God designed man. This is how God created us, the Puritans would say, that we are to function. That's the way our bodies, our minds, our combination of who we are is made. We are to function in this way. One day out of seven, we need a day of rest. And in that day, we spend in restful worship. So, secondly, Puritans believed that the observance of the Lord's Day was a moral duty. A moral duty. Because it was part of the moral law. So first, Genesis 2, 1 and 2. Now, Exodus 20. This is our duty because it's part of the Ten Commandments, which God wrote with his own finger, and those commandments were to be perpetual. So we are bound morally, not only creationally, but morally, to honor God by honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Third, Puritans believe that the Lord's Day was the market day of the soul. That was the name they gave to it. They called it the Mart Day, but that was abbreviation for market, M-A-R-T. And so what they would do is they would gather up all their goods needed for the week on that day. You know, the market, Puritan days, was only open one day a week. So if you missed that day, you missed food for the whole week. So Sunday, then, was the appointed day in which you, as I already hinted at, you store up spiritual food and you feast richly, not only in family worship, but also for your own soul. You're to meditate on what you heard in the sermons for the week to come. And then fourth, Puritans believe that the weekly Sabbath was a weekly reminder of the rest that we receive in salvation. And so it has not only a creational purpose, a moral purpose, a feasting purpose, but also has a soteriological purpose that is connected with the doctrine of salvation. So every Lord's Day I get to say, this is the day the Lord has made. As surely as Christ rose from the dead and instituted the Lord's Day, so surely my soul shall be saved in Christ alone, by resting in Christ and his finished work alone. Thus, the Lord's Day is a picture and a reminder every week of the salvation that we receive, that we rest from our own works, as the author to the Hebrews put it, and receive afresh the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And then finally, fifthly, they believed, and of course, all true Sabbath keeping ends here, they believe that the weekly Sabbath is to point us forward and to remind us of the eternal Sabbath, that eternal rest that we will receive when we are true believers in heaven. And this is a glorious thing that we don't often meditate on, as we should, I believe. You see, you got to think of it this way. How could anyone feel it's a burden, anyone who's born again, feel it's a burden to one day a week set aside entirely to the worship of God when this is a foretaste of what we will be doing, may I say it this way, though heaven is timeless, 7 days a week. In other words, we'll be doing it all the time in heaven. Heaven is eternal Sabbath. So there's a problem. If you don't like the earthly Sabbath, would you even feel at home in heaven? See, a person who's not saved wouldn't feel at home in heaven because heaven's a God-centered place. Heaven's a worshipful place. Even if you could go to heaven and you're unsaved, you would dread it because you're so used to being selfish, living for yourself. Heaven's not about you. Heaven's about the glory of God. Heaven's about worshiping Christ. Heaven's about being in utopian marriage with Christ. Heaven is exalting the triune God forever and ever and loving one another. Heaven's a place of perfect love. And you see the church on earth as it meets on the Lord's Day is to be a type of that. We're to be praising God, loving one another. So those are the five basic principles. I'm sure there's a few more of the Puritan view of Sabbath. Now, this weekly day of rest then points to this final, future, forever, eschatological rest that the saints receive when they are with Christ in glory. Now, from these theological convictions, these five convictions, flowed certain practices on the Lord's Day. Because the Puritan Reformation was not just a reformation of doctrine. Remember what the Reformers did. They hammered out the main doctrines and got us back to the Bible, purged us from a lot of Roman Catholic errors and traditions that crept in that were anti-biblical. The Puritans, sitting on their shoulders, coming two generations later, then took all those doctrines and said, how do we apply them? How do we apply them to our marriage, to our work, to our daily lives, to our families? That's their expertise. That's their niche. And so I want to highlight quickly with you five implications for practice that the Puritans drew out of their theology of Sabbath. Number one, since the Puritans believed in what I just read from Revelation 1, that the new Sabbath is called now the Lord's Day, they read into Revelation 1 and said, this is not just a matter of going up to church twice on Sunday. This is a matter of the Lord's Day. We give this whole day to the Lord. It's a day set apart for Him, the Puritans said. A day given to worship Him, to enjoy Him. That's number one. Number two, they believed that the Lord's Day was meant not to be a burden, but a blessing, a day of refreshment, a day that's really an invitation to enjoy spiritual rest in Jesus. If you're traveling down a highway for a long time, hours and hours, and you're with your wife or husband or with your family in the car, and you see a rest stop, you say, well, it's time to take a break. And you pull off and you enjoy the rest stop for 10 minutes, and then you get going again. Well, the Puritans said, in a way, if I could say it this way, the Lord's Day is a rest stop every week, a holy rest stop that makes you take a deep breath from all the busyness, all the hecticness of the last 6 days, and you rest in Christ. It's an amazing opportunity to seize hold of this joyful rest in Jesus. Now, number three, the third implication, is that the Lord's Day ought to be for us not just a time, the Puritans said, of public worship, which is great, and that's the highlight of the day, that's the highlight of the week, that's the highlight of our lives, because God loves to speak to us in worship, in corporate worship. In fact, David Clarkson, by the way, has a whole sermon on the text that God delights to visit His people in His sanctuary even more than in the tents of Jacob. And he argues, God likes to visit His people in their own homes, in their own tents, but He has a special fondness, a special love to meet with His people corporately under the preached word. But the Puritans said, so the preaching, the sermons, are the highlight of your entire life because it's God speaking to you directly through ordained ministry by the Holy Spirit. So they said that every sermon, there's two ministers, the earthly one, the heavenly one. The heavenly one takes the words of the earthly one, puts them in his bow like arrows, shoots them out over the congregation, and the arrows get directed to every heart according to each heart's need. That's, wow, that's a glorious theology of sermons. what's going on in a sermon. In fact, they emphasize the sermon so much that they won't say so often like we do, are you going to church this morning? They would say, are you going to sermon this morning? Wow. Are you going to sermon? Now, I'm not saying that's a big deal, but it's just, I'm just saying that's how much they focused on the preached word. That for them, they would not be like many evangelical churches today where going to church is more about the music than about the sermon. They were not happy with if anybody told the minister to shorten his sermon. No, they want a good 60-minute sermon. None of this short business. We want to hear the word of God, you see. And we live in a very different day where you fill up the service with singing for 30 minutes so the minister only has to preach for 25 or whatever. That's not the way the Puritans thought. But then they said, the rest of the day, you see, is a time for rest, physical rest, yes, but spiritual rest, dwelling on Christ, meditating, private worship, and family worship. So they spent a little bit longer on the Lord's Day than regular days of the week in family worship. They called it extended family worship. My dad actually did that as well. We had a special extended family worship section every Sunday night after church. And read Pilgrim's Progress to us for a while and so on. And it was wonderful. It was a sacred time for our family. So Puritans would spend that day if they had a couple of good books that their, you know, a book was very expensive in that day. So what they would do is they'd get a copy in the congregation. They would pass it around to different families. And most families had one or two books. And if they could all read, they would spend some time reading in private worship. They'd spend some time in family worship, reading together, talking together. It was a worshipful day. Now, fourth, they also set boundaries for themselves. They had different things that most people today would say, wow, that's legalistic. That's a no-no, and that's a no-no to do. But that's not the way the Puritans viewed it. They viewed, we don't go in today's language, we don't go into restaurants on Sunday, we don't go play golf, we don't do all these extra things, which may be perfectly legitimate in themselves, but we don't do these on the Lord's Day because we want to jealously guard the whole day for worship. It's not a negative, you see. It's a positive. We don't want the secular things to intrude on this sacred gift of God. And so the Puritans got very upset when King James, who wanted to irritate them and was upset with their godly worship on Sunday, he published a book called The Book of Sports, and which sanctions in the Anglican Church going out and having recreation on Sunday afternoon between the services, engaging in different sports. Well, the Puritans hated that book. They felt like the Anglicans were trying to rob them of this sacred day, this gift of God. And then number five, the Puritans aimed for balance. We would say balance. We would say they didn't over-prescribe strictness on the Sabbath, but they were aiming for balance. John Owen said, the Christian ought to walk carefully between the two errors of, on the one hand, the Pharisees, who constructed all kinds of legalistic practices for the Lord's days, and the antinomians, who rejected observances of the Lord's day altogether. And so the tendency then is for the church to stray to one side or the other, says Owen, but if we can just keep a right balance where we surrender the whole day to God and we don't add a lot of man-made rules, but focus on worship, then we have the biblical balance. All right, just a couple concluding applications then. I've got just three, 4 more minutes. From the Puritan practice, I think my number one implication is in your families and in your own heart, see the Lord's Day as the greatest gift of God you could possibly imagine. Be excited about the Lord's Day. When your kids get up in the morning, say to them, we get to worship the Lord all day today. That's incredible. What a gift. So see it as joyful, robust observance of the Lord's Day. It's a blessing. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. It's not a burden. And then secondly, make sure when you commemorate the Lord's Day with your children that you don't cultivate an attitude in them that there's a long, long list of don'ts. There has to be some boundaries, of course, but don't make them feel like, well, this is a terrible day because I can't do all kinds of things. We can go overboard, but keep your Sabbath traditions grounded in the principles of Scripture, in the creation ordinance, in the moral law, in the principles of spiritual nourishment, and in the promises of soteriological and eschatological rest. And work those out in your own family so that the day is a day of worshiping God with joy and with humility and in dependency on the Holy Spirit to come and commune with us as families in the house of God, in our family worship, and in our personal worship. And make sure that all three of those happen. Make sure that your children also have some time alone where they're reading a good book, where they're praying. Teach them to do private worship as well. Let's pray. Great God of heaven, we thank thee for the Puritans bequeathing to us of the concept of holy, worshipful, restful, God-centered Sabbath. We thank thee for the Lord's Day. We thank thee that this one day is set aside each week to focus on worship, corporate worship, family worship, private worship. Lord, what a blessing this is. So please, go with us and be near to us and bless us. On the Lord's Day, may we rejoice in the resurrected Savior, and may we look forward to the eternal Sabbath to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.